Let us read John chapter 19, verse 26. John chapter 19, verse 26, and it reads, "When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Dear woman, here is your son.'" Lord, I ask for your power and grace to reside upon me so that I can bring a word that you want me to bring, not a word that I want to bring. I ask for you to deal with my heart. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Amen. I want to speak to you from the subject of a mother's love. A mother's love. There we go. Yep, just keep it just like that. A mother's love. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 explains how love endures all things, hopes all things, believes all things. He goes on to say that love never fails. As a boy, I've always heard that every child of God has never learned how to love until you learn how to give until it hurts. I see the biblical correlation to the saying. I see how even Christ gave until it hurt. He traveled down 42 burning generations, emptied out his divinity, stepped into the womb of Mary, lived as a man for 33 years, and because of his love, one light late Friday evening, he walked the way of Via Dolorosa, and they put nails in his hand to bring the fruition of soteriological dispensation, that if there be no shedding of blood, there be no remission of sins. Paul says in Romans that God expressed his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, he became the propitiation for our sins. Jesus gave until it hurt. Likewise, a mother loves until it hurts. A mother comes to a near-death experience, and some women have actually died while giving birth to a child. She makes sacrifice to ensure a child she has never met is safe in her womb, and as the child develops inside of her, she has no cigarettes, come on somebody, no Moscato, no Chardonnay for 9 months. A mother gives until it hurts. This is why women are trusted throughout the Bible to raise and nurture great men and women of God. Jochebed was entrusted with Moses. Instead of killing him as instructed by the corporate edict of Pharaoh, she hid Moses in the Nile River and ended up raising Moses in Pharaoh's palace, the very person who was trying to kill him. Hannah made a vow saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." Therefore, God entrusted her to birth and raise the greatest priest of biblical times, Samuel, until he came of age to serve in the priesthood as Hannah and the Lord agreed. Naomi was a mother to her daughter-in-law Ruth and trained her to successfully locate and secure her Boaz because she was loving her son vicariously through Ruth. Elizabeth was entrusted to raise John the Baptist to become the greatest prophet of all times, even though her husband, Zechariah, was silenced by the angel Gabriel because he doubted that his wife could birth a son because she was well beyond childbearing years. For months she carried the child, even when she feared that it was going to be stillborn because he had never moved inside of her. But when she came face to face with Mary, her baby leaped inside of her womb because she had brought him in contact with his prophetic destiny. Throughout the Bible, we see how God used women to nurture and raise mighty men and women of God. I'm not saying that the men didn't do anything. However, the Bible narrates the intricate details of the mother oftentimes more than the father. The ultimate trust was when God entrusted a woman with his son Jesus. Jesus Emmanuel, God is with us. The Word made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God entrusted his precious Word in the womb of a woman. Why did God trust the women with his prophets, his kings, his priests, his mighty men of valor, and ultimately the Word of God himself, his son Jesus? Because he designed a woman to nurture, from the intricate scientific details of her body to the very nature of her emotional psyche and being. Oh, the placenta, when a child is being born, a placenta is formed around the baby, and the placenta keeps any outside influence from mingling with the baby except the DNA of the father. See, Mary didn't let anything infiltrate the word of God, but the DNA of God. Oh, y'all don't hear me. See, Jesus wasn't born into sin, because the precious makeup of a woman's body kept him shielded from all outside influences. I'm sure that Mary was nurturing and protective nature of Mary was ignited on more than one occasion as Jesus was coming into age. But I'm telling you, even before birth, he was protected. Now here Mary was with her protective instincts as a woman at the cross, not being able to do anything. She wasn't there because he was her Lord and God, but because she was his mother. She was taking a great risk being at the cross because Jesus was a revolutionary in the eyes of Rome, a heretic in the eyes of the religionists. Any supporter of Jesus who stood at the cross ran the risk of ridicule and arrest. Nevertheless, Mary, Jesus' mother, stood there. Why? Because she loved him. There's no other explanation. She simply loved him. Like any good mother, her safety was no consequence to her because her son needed her. Mary wasn't alone. Her girls were ride or die, and they were at the cross with her. Many theologians will say that the women were at the cross because Jesus had done so much for them that they were willing to stand by him no matter what the cost. But Jesus did a lot for his disciples, but I didn't see them at the cross. Only one I recall remaining by his side was John. He did a lot for the lepers, but I don't remember them being at the cross. He healed blind Bartimaeus, but I don't remember seeing him at the cross. If the other people that Jesus did so much for were not there, why is it that these women were the last ones at the cross and the first ones at the empty tomb? I'll tell you why. They were mothers. And their loving, nurturing, protective instinct was innate in them. And if one of their girls' child was in trouble, they felt as if their very own child was in trouble. In fact, Jesus may have been their surrogate son, because the same way Pharaoh was attempting to kill the great emancipator Moses by killing every firstborn child of the Israelites during this time, Herod in like manner crafted the same type of corporate edict, instructing all firstborn male children 2 years of age and younger that resided in Bethlehem and the surrounding cities to be put to death. Therefore, these women may have very well lost their own sons and lived vicariously through Mary by raising Jesus as their own. We are isolated and over-independent now. That's an understatement in coronavirus right now, but we don't raise each other's children as a village anymore. But back then, your child was my child, and my child was your child. A mother will never leave you, but she's designed and built to protect her child. I'm sure on the cross, Jesus reminisced about how he grew up as a child of Mary, his mom. Although I'm sure he reminisced about the time Mary and Joseph were upset with him because he had wandered off and was teaching in the temple. The times when he embarrassed them, when people called him a heretic, when he stated he was the Son of God. The times he healed the sick and raised the dead. But I believe that he reminisced mostly about his first miracle. Now, I wasn't there, but I'm just telling you what I think. Yeah, the miracle when he turned water into wine. This was the miracle where his mama pushed him into his destiny. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Where she forced him into performing his first miracle. It demonstrated his very purpose for coming to earth to reveal the creative power of God. He had the power to create and produce what was needed to meet man's needs. Let's take a trip to Cana. Let's go to John 2, 1 through 11 in the NIV. It says, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not come yet." His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw out some now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who drew the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. And when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior, you have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. See, note that everything points towards Mary in this text as having a key part in the marriage. There was a steward overseeing the household affairs, but Mary was apparently helping in some manner. See, note 2 things. Mary had a social concern, but Jesus had a spiritual concern. Oh, I'm trying to walk through you right quick. Number 1, Mary's social concern was extremely serious, for the wine was already gone and the celebration had just begun. There was a whole week of celebration yet to go. They're supposed to entertain people for a whole week and they ran out the first night? Hallelujah, Jesus. The couple was to have an open house and provide wine and refreshment for the whole week. What were they to do? The importance of wine in the Middle East must also be remembered. Good germ-free water was scarce, and it was used only when necessary. Wine was used as a drinking substitute. Oh, I want to go to Cana. There was a critical need, a predicament that was going on to affect everyone involved. The joyful spirit of the guests was to be dampened. The couple was to be ashamed and humiliated, becoming the object of jokes among some. Mary, the mother of Jesus, probably one of the hostesses, was to be embarrassed. Mary naturally was concerned about the matter, but note the point. Mary's concern was a social concern, as I said earlier, a concern for seeing that the needs of the social group were met. She did what any other mother would do. She brought the problem to her son. Amen. Ain't no wine. But look at Jesus in point 2. Jesus' deeper concern was to meet man's spiritual need for regeneration. In Mary's concern, Jesus saw a unique opportunity to begin familiarizing his mother with the truth of who he was. The Son of God who had entered the world for a particular hour, the cross. Mary nor anyone else understood Jesus' person, true mission, or messiahship, not yet. Therefore, at the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus began to teach everyone, and in particular the person who was dear to his heart, his mother. He wanted to do all he could to prepare her and the others for the terrible pain that was to come during his hour. He was truly the Son of God. He had been born of God. His person and mission had to do with God and the things of the Spirit, not with Mary and her social and fleshy needs. He had nothing in common with her and her flesh. He was God and of the Spirit. She must begin to understand and see. The more she could hear the truth, the more she would see and understand, especially after his hour had come. Therefore, Jesus used every opportunity possible to familiarize all his loved ones with the phrase, my hour. His hour was to become a constant symbol of his death. The point Jesus made was that his hour had not yet come. The hour when he could really meet man's needs. The hour and when he must die for man's regeneration. Do you see how Mary ignored Jesus though? Oh, y'all missed it in the text. Jesus said, my hour has not come. And she ignored him and told the people, do whatever he say. A mother has a way of humbling you when you think you all that and a bag of chips and your head gets too big. She pretty much told the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that I know you got all the power. I know you anointed, but I'm still your mama. Oh, come on, somebody. Don't you get mad at your mama when she talked to you like that. This woman talked to Jesus. Told God, I'm your mama. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying? Mary has a relationship with Jesus, and she wasn't going to hear no for an answer. Her people's wedding was about to be a shame and a mockery, and she went into prayer of intercession. See, intercession is a violent prayer that won't be denied. How many of us are here because of our mother's prayer? How many of us are blessed and not in jail because of a mother's prayer? Nobody can pray for you like a woman that loves you, and no woman can pray for you like your mama. Your daddy will get tired of you and leave you in jail after a while, but your mama will be there even if you make your bed in hell. I'm here to tell you right now, Mary said, I know you're the Savior, but I'm your mama. Oh, many mothers have travailed for our children. Many mothers have travailed for their children and didn't say, Jesus, I know I'm your mama, because they not. But they went in and say, look here, Mr. God, I done carried this Negro for 9 months. I done carried this girl for 9 months. And you telling me they're about to die right now? The devil is a lie. I'm about to come up to you, God. You better let my child live. I know he messed up. I know he need to be in jail. I know he need to die, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm his mama. My placenta carried him. It covered him in the womb, and I need you to do your job and cover my baby right now. Oh, Mary sacrificed for Jesus. She didn't care how she looked. She looked like a loose woman. Oh, come on, somebody. That's why they would say, is that not the carpenter's son? Oh, no. Because really they were saying is, look here. You know good and well Mary must have been out there tipping around, and Joseph really relieved that story. You know good and well God ain't got her pregnant. I don't know who got her pregnant, but somebody done got her pregnant, and it ain't God. Mary didn't care how she looked. She didn't care that she looked like a loose woman. And she told Joseph, she had a conversation with him. And she said, look here, baby, if you don't want to be with me and my child, you can ease on down the road. Can I talk to the single mothers right now? If that man can't accept you and your child, you better tell him to ease on down the road and get to stepping, because your child is a part of you. Oh, I'm preaching today. I don't know why I'm preaching so hard, but I'm going to preach like it's my last day today, because some mothers have gone to jail for them. Do you know, can I talk to you about Jim Crowism? I'm not trying to make my Caucasian brothers feel bad and my Caucasian sisters feel bad, but the mother would go on the steps because she knew if the man stepped outside, he'd be shot because he intimidated. So every now and then, come on somebody, your mama steps up in front of Satan and say, if you try to take my child, hey, you gotta go through me first. I love my mama, and I hope you love yours. Oh, a mother can see where a child is going and can push you where you're supposed to be. Yeah. Even in your worst state, your mama can see your best state. Yeah, a mother would know your shortcomings and still push you into your destiny. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Mary's confidence was in her son. It was night, and wine could not be bought. Not right then. It was unthinkable that Mary was asking Jesus to perform a miracle, especially turning water into wine. Uh-huh. So far as we know, he hadn't performed any miracles yet. But Mary had utter confidence in him. She knew he was special. She knew he could make a way out of no way. Even though Jesus told her it was not his hour, yet she pushed him to the point that he was placed in a corner and forced to demonstrate his creative power. This woman pushed the Savior to do a miracle. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't understand how powerful this text is. He performed a miracle for her children. Can I get a witness, though? I know somebody out there has a praying mother, and you know that if it were not for her praying God on your side,
You don't know where you would be. I know we always say if it was not for God on my side, but some of y'all, the only reason God on your side is because your mother prayed for you. I know there ain't no way in heaven or the other place that I got through Georgia Southern without my mama praying for me. Come on, somebody. I don't know how many DUIs I should have driving. Don't even remember how I got home. Went to a party. Didn't even remember I drove to the party and asked, hey, man, I'm ready to go. And I kept for the ready to go. They were like, do you know you drove? Yet I got in the car and drove home. But I know I was riding on the prayers of my mama. Y'all better hear me right now. Oh, y'all don't hear me right now. All her requests were selfish. I'm talking about Mary. I ain't talking about Annie right yet. Because she didn't want her people nor herself to look bad. Her intercession was pressing Jesus to start a chain reaction. See, some theologians call her selfish, but who cares? A mama's supposed to be selfish for her baby. Mamas love their baby. Mamas love their baby so much, they don't even think their baby can do no wrong. I'm like I gave an example before, you can be in the marching band, everybody on the left, they child on the right, ain't no out on the right foot but my baby. The whole band messed up, okay. He on the right foot, everybody else on the left foot, but the whole band wrong. Cause your baby on the wrong foot. See, some mama got mad right then because they didn't thought about it. That Negro talking about my baby. I'm glad I'm inside. Honk your horn if you're mad. Oh, God, help me. Let me get out of here. The six water pots. We got to note three things. Number one, the six water pots were used both for drinking water and for purifying and cleansing of the Jews. That is the ceremonial and religious cleansing of the hands and utensils. They were already knew about COVID-19. Y'all better watch out. Wash your hands. When a Jew saw the water pots, he knew they were for both for satisfying his thirst and for his religious cleansing. Jesus used the water pots to show that he had the power to purify, cleanse, and satisfy men, to create and produce whatever was necessary to cleanse and satisfy men. Revelation 1:5 says, Jesus Christ, who is faithful, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin. Do you see that it says he was the only begotten of the dead? The first begotten of the dead. He's the first. He's the only begotten son, but he's the firstborn son. You are a son and a daughter, and God covers you the same way he covers his son. You're covered with the precious blood of Jesus. Number two, Jesus had a deeper concern than just meeting the social need of the host. He had come to meet man's need for spiritual purification and inner cleansing, and he was to do it through his hour on the cross. Therefore, he grabbed the opportunity to reveal his creative power, his power to create man anew. We either believe Christ in the Messiah, in the Messiahship or not. We either believe he has the power to create anew or not. That he demonstrated such power in this miracle or not. Three, and I'm about to be done. Jesus simply instructed that preparations be made. And when he was obeyed, everyone experienced his creative power and was fully satisfied. We have to obey Christ's instruction if we wish to be cleansed and created spiritually. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So you can say, Lord, Lord. But if you don't do Lord, Lord, it don't matter. The results of Mary pushing Jesus to perform the miracle were threefold. One, the bridegroom's need was met. What he needed was provided. Two, Christ's glory was revealed. His power to create anew was demonstrated. See, you got to understand, sometimes problems in your life come so God can show his glory. Three, the faith of the disciples was strengthened. They believed on him even more. He had given evidence that he was the Messiah. See, it's something innate in mothers that they know just when and how to push their children into their destinies. I think they learned it on the delivery table when the doctor told them to breathe a certain way and then push. I don't know how, I don't know about you, but I have a mother that knows how to push and when to push. Can I get a witness out there who knows they have a mother that knows how to push, that knows that when you get in a mess, she know how to push, that knows when you die on your luck, that know how to push, that knows when you burn out and depressed, and even though you're walking in the ministry looking strong, you're tired, she know how to push, she know how to pray until something happens. Can I talk to y'all about some mothers that pray for you? Some of y'all got y'all degrees that ain't even bright, ain't even smart, don't even know 2 + 2, but you're walking around here with master's degree and doctor's degree because your mama prayed for your special ed minded self. Can I talk to somebody for a while? Can I talk to you about mothers who've been covering their children? I know it's been many times I've been out jogging, been pulled over by the police because I looked like somebody, because I was black, but I was covered by my mama. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Many a day I got into it with the police because I'm not doing anything. I ain't got no criminal record. You can look on my history. But every now and then, because I'm black, I get pulled over. Y'all better watch. I ride around with a Land Rover. They don't pull me over no more because they know who I am. But when I first got down here with the Lexus and didn't nobody know Pastor Maxwell, I got pulled over the same way. Why? But I got a mama that covers me, and that's the only reason I ain't got shot. Can I keep it real with y'all right now? Some of y'all need to understand the only reason you still living is because of your mama. She prayed for you. She covered you. She travailed for you. I know just because people do get shot don't mean their mama ain't praying. But I'm going to tell you right now, I know. Many times with my mouth, y'all know how my mouth is. Pull me over if you want to. I might get shot because I ain't going to be quiet. Why you pulling me over? What's the problem? And back then, you ain't even had no phones. Many a times, just jogging. And I was like, why you talking about me? I'm running around with my track shorts on. Y'all know how little them shorts were. When the world I got, ain't got no pockets. I'm running practice for cross country, and you pulling me over. So when I see stuff like that, it begins to make me sensitive because I know the only reason I'm here because my mama prayed for me. I'm going to just say this right now, and I know this is the end of the sermon, but I got to tell you now. I'm going to talk to everybody right now. I was on a call the other day, and God led me. I'm talking to a lot of Caucasians, and I preached a lesson, taught a lesson for 5 minutes on the Good Samaritan. And I just talked to my white brothers and sisters. If you know and respect a black person, and they tell you how certain things go on in the world, stop giving your opinion and just listen. Because truth be told, the only reason they in jail, like Snoop Dogg said, it's funny, I'm quoting Snoop Dogg in church, it's because we saw the video. They already saw that video. Wasn't nobody going to press no charges. Nobody was going to do anything. Why? Because a lot of times, black life don't matter. And people get mad and say, all lives matter. Yeah, all lives matter. But we got to make sure we put black lives matter in there because apparently you don't care. We got to go put out videos and petitions and run and film ourselves to get some justice. There's no way that I'm able to walk in the success I have without the prayers of my mom. I don't care if you white, black, or whatever, but especially if you're a minority and you still living past the age of 22, your mama was praying for you. You can get shot just by running down the street, jogging in your own neighborhood, selling loose cigarettes, choked out on national TV, and you still don't get justice. I know I'm here because of my mama. And some of us are here because of our mothers. And you're still here because she prayed for you. So if you're mad at your mama, go make reconciliation. Because the only reason you're here is because of her. Whether she prayed for you or not, she pushed you out. For 9 months, she carried you, didn't even know your name. When now they could get rid of you in the 9th month. Jesus. But you're still here. Mothers, we love you. We thank you.